This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In a few days, Hujjaj, not just from our community but from around the world, will be setting off on a once-in-a-lifetime journey, a journey of profound meaning, profound spiritual insight, and transformation. And subhanAllah, in the journey of Hajj, there are many lessons to take, not just from the journey itself, from the specific journey of the Prophet ﷺ, some of the historical aspects of Hajj, some of the wisdoms behind what we say and what we do. And in the khutbah today, I wanted to just talk about one aspect of Hajj, which is also a part of Umrah, which many of you have experienced, and we ask Allah to allow us to experience many times over. Allahumma ameen. And that is the sa'i. As-sa'i bayna as-safa wal-marwa. Going between the mountains of Safa and Marwa. And as-sa'i in the Arabic language, it has a few different meanings, but the two primary meanings that it holds is one of movement with the connotation of effort. It requires effort as you're struggling or doing something. And it also carries the meaning of action. It carries the meaning of action. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَاهُ. And his actions, what he's done, will soon be seen. Allah refers to both in the Qur'an. But when we look at the sa'i itself, we know the history behind it. Ibrahim alayhi salam left his wife Hajar and his son Ismail as a young infant in the middle of a desert, بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. It has no vegetation. And he leaves them with just a few provisions. And as he turns and walks away, once he reaches the place near what will be the Bayt of Allah, and he begins walking away, Hajar begins following him and questioning him. Ya Ibrahim, ayna tadhhab? Wa tatrukuna bihadha al-wadi alladhi laysa fihi insun wala shay'. Where are you going? Where are you leaving us in this valley that has neither people nor anything? There is literally nothing there. Until it dawns upon her that perhaps he is following a command of Allah. And so she says, Allahu alladhi amaraka bihadha, is Allah the one who commanded you to leave us here? And then Ibrahim stops in his footsteps and he says, yes. And then you see the faith of our mother Hajar, where she says, idhan la yudayyuna. If that's the case, if it's a command from Allah, if it's the will of Allah, then I know I have full faith that Allah will not abandon us. And so the moments go by, the hours go by, the days go by until everything that she has in terms of provision and whatnot is run out. No more food, no more water, no milk for the baby. And the narration says that Ismail alayhi salam, he was laying there, kana yatalawa. He was literally, his body was curling in hunger. Now imagine the heart of a mother watching her son starving to death in front of her. And we don't have to imagine because we've now seen these images from Gaza. Children, infants that are skin and bones. A 7-year-old child that I met in northern Gaza, where she literally, you lift up her shirt and all you see is her ribs and her spine. She's become so weak she cannot even walk anymore. A three-month-old child whose face is sunken in, it looks like, although the three-month-old is still alive, it looks like the skeletons that are being found now in the Jabalia camp, as after the army withdrew and you see skeletons of people remaining behind. A three-month-old child who until that moment when I saw him was still alive. So we've seen a taste of that. A mother who's seeing her son starve in front of her. And so the narration says, Ibn Abbas, he records a narration and he says that subhanAllah, فَانْطَلَقَتْ كَرَاهِيَةَ أَنْ تَنْظُرَ إِلَيْهِ She said, he says that she left looking for food, looking for help. But the reason he mentions, this is narrated in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ says hadith, Ibn Abbas records it, that why? Because she couldn't stand looking at her son anymore. She couldn't stand looking at her son anymore. And so she goes to Safa and Marwa. But subhanAllah, those of you who've been to Safa and Marwa before, been to Sa'i, been to Hajj, been to Umrah before, how long does it take to go between Safa and Marwa? 5 minutes, 7 minutes, less than 10. So when she gets to Safa, the nearest mountain, and she looks and she sees, is there anybody there to help her? And no one's there. So she comes down, she runs for part of the way, and she gets to Marwa, and she ascends Marwa, and she looks out on Marwa. What does she do next? She goes back to Safa, which she was just there 10 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago. It wasn't that long ago, but why would she go back and forth out of... When she was just there, nothing's going to change. We already know it's an empty desert with no vegetation, no water, no wells, no people. Nobody's going to be passing by. Nobody lives there. بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرَّ And you know, I didn't understand it until I read the story of a woman in Somalia during the famine a few years ago. When she was walking for miles to get to one of the humanitarian stations. And she's carrying her child with her and she's holding another child by her arm. Until it got to the point from the severity of their condition that the child that she was, that was able to walk, passed out unconscious. And so she left him under a tree in the desert. And she had a decision to make. Do I continue on and carry my one child I have left with the hopes that me and my child, my infant child, survive, sacrificing my other child? Or do I wait in the hopes that this child will wake up and we can all be saved at the risk of all of us dying? And so she said that she left her child. And as she would walk 5, 10, 15 steps, she would turn back around to go and check, is a child waking up, trying to revive the child, and then leave again. And then her heart wouldn't let her leave, so she would turn back and go back to the child. And she did this multiple times until she told the aid workers that she, when she reached there safely with her infant, that she left her child there. I mean, imagine that level, going back and forth, just hope. Hajar is going between Safa and Marwa within 10 minutes and 15 minutes of one another, looking for help, knowing there's nothing there. Until finally she gets to Marwa. And she hears a sound, so she says, "Ah," telling herself, "Keep quiet, let me hear. I've heard you if you have any help." She cries out in the middle of an empty desert, and she turns around, and she sees Ismail laying on the floor, and there next to him is an angel, and the water is coming forth either from its heel or its wing, and Zamzam comes. But the point is what? We are learning some things from this, just already we're learning from the story. Number one, her initial response, إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيْعُنَا When she knows that Allah is the one who commanded this, it's the mashia of Allah, it's the irada of Allah, that she will be in this condition, she has full faith and conviction, Allah is not going to abandon her. And despite the lived experience of seeing her son starving in front of her, her faith didn't shake. And that's why when the angel, subhanAllah, the angel tells her, لَا تَخَافُ الضِّيْعَةِ فَإِنَّهَا هُنَا بَيْتَ اللَّهِ Oh Hajar, don't fear being left alone or abandoned, for here in this place will be the house of Allah. يَبْنِي هَذَا الْغُلَامُ وَأَبُوهُ This child of yours and his father will be the one to build the Kaaba. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضَيْعُ أَهْلَهُ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَهْلَهُ. And Allah indeed will not abandon His people. The iman. And she's being told, لا تخاف الضيعة. Don't be afraid of abandonment. But yet, what is her condition? What is her actual condition? She is in ضيعة. She has been abandoned. She's alone with no, even with the water there. Even with the water. Where is the shelter from the elements? Where is the protection from the lions and the snakes? Where is the protection from a tribe passing by that will take her as a slave? She's even with water, even in that condition, but she knows. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَهْلَهُ. Allah will not abandon His people. So we see the faith. And we also see the struggle. The seeing her son starving in front of her. And subhanAllah, we also see that she was pushed to movement. Her pain was not a pain of paralysis, but rather a pain of action. She couldn't stand bearing what she's seeing, just like we can't stand bearing what we see. But what drove her was that pain to do something about it. And so she went to Safa and Marwa. She looked for help. And so subhanAllah, you see the people of Gaza, and they have this, their spirit is unremarkable, unbreakable. If there's one word that can describe them, it would be unbreakable. I walked on Shifa's destroyed grounds, Shifa Hospital. I walked through the ER and the surgical center and the medical office building, completely destroyed, burned. We went, we could still, 2 days later, still see the embers from the smoke rising from the buildings. And we left there thinking there is no way, khalas, you have to break the whole thing down and rebuild if there's a chance for that, inshallah. Yet not even 6 weeks later, the people of Gaza, they not only rehabilitated a part of the hospital, but they were able to reopen the dialysis center and now serving 5 patients to get dialysis at a time. It's remarkable. I don't know how I can explain to you from what you can see. Literally the night the army withdrew from Shifa Hospital, people were going there. When we went 2 days later, they were already taking equipment out. They made a human chain up to the third floor, and they're taking surgical equipment out that had not yet been destroyed or desterilized, and they were removing it from the hospital to use at other hospitals. They have a spirit that will not be broken. No matter what you do to us, we will continue our what we have to do. They felt more pain than you and I perhaps can ever imagine. But it hasn't paralyzed them. It didn't paralyze Hajar alayhi salam, and it did not paralyze them. And then when we go to Safa and Marwa, why do we go? What's the purpose of the Hajjaj until the end of time, the Ummar until the end of time, to perform Sa'i bayna Safa wal Marwa? Yes, we learn the lessons from Hajar alayhi salam, but that's not the asl, that's not the exact reason. That's part of the benefit, the story of Ibrahim. Throughout Hajj, the story of Ibrahim is present. But why is Safa wal Marwa specifically? The Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith that إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ رَمْيُ الْجَمَرَاتِ وَالسَّعْيُ بَيْنَ الصَّفَاءَ وَالْمَرْوَةِ لِإِقَامَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That this, the whole purpose of throwing the stones at the jamarat and going between Safa and Marwa is to establish the dhikr of Allah. Now when you think about that. And again, juxtapose that upon what we see from the people of Palestine. While they have broken bones and amputated limbs, what's coming out of their mouth? You don't even see them. I didn't see this. Them cursing Israel. It's strange because you would think that if you're murdered, the murderer of your baby, you would want revenge. But they're saying subhanAllah. They're saying alhamdulillah. They're saying inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They're living the hadith. Whoever says alhamdulillah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, when at the loss of a child, then Allah will command the angels to build for them a palace in paradise. Wasammuhu bayt alhamd, the name of the bayt of hamd, the house of praise. They live this hadith. But what's strange is the dhikr of Allah that's always on their tongue. And Allah says, the Prophet says that a sa'i, its purpose is dhikr of Allah. So the hujjaj between Safa and Marwa, you make dhikr of Allah. You can make dua, Quran, dhikr, whatever you like. But there is a specific dhikr that when the Prophet ﷺ ascended Safa and he ascended Marwa, every single time until the last, he would stand there and he would say this 3 separate times, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater, Allah is greater, Allah is greater. La ilaha illallah.
وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير.
I testify there is no one worthy worship but Allah. To him belongs the kingdom and to him belongs all praise and he has power over all things. Now, what would he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He would be standing on Safa and he is facing the Kaaba. Now with the walls, you can't see the Kaaba. But he's facing the Kaaba, his hands are raised, and he makes this dhikr, and then he makes dua. But the dhikr isn't finished. He says, La ilaha illallah wahda. There is no God but Allah, he is one. Anjaza wa'da. He fulfilled his promise. Wa nasara abda. And he gave victory to his slave. Wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. And he defeated the confederates all alone. And he's looking at the Kaaba as he's saying this, and then he makes dua. Then he says it again. La ilaha illallah wahda. Anjaza wa'da. Wa nasara abda. Wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. There is no God but Allah. He is one. He fulfilled his promise and he gave victory to his slave and he alone defeated all the confederates. Imagine, just imagine what's going through his mind as he's saying this dua. Just 15 years prior. 8 years prior, he was 9 years, 10 years prior, he's driven out of Mecca. Go 15, 20 years ago, the same place, the Kaaba he's looking at, Ibn Mas'ud, was the first companion anhu to recite Qur'an publicly. Ar-Rahman, 'allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, 'allamahu al-bayan. He begins reciting Surah Ar-Rahman. And the Quraysh grab him and beat him so severely that he fell unconscious and you couldn't tell his eyes from his nose, from his ears. His face was that badly damaged. Imagine the scenes going through the Messenger of Allah's mind as he's saying, Anjaza wa'ada. But Allah fulfilled his promise. Abu Bakr anhu was the first khatib in Islam, 38 Muslims only. And he says, O Messenger of Allah, let me stand and give the message. The Prophet wasn't allowed yet. But Abu Bakr says, let me do it. We have 38 people. So he stands in front of the Kaaba and he gives the first public address in Islam. And he's beaten so severely that they thought he would die. They had to carry him out on cloths. The Prophet is perhaps recollecting these scenes that he witnessed, that he knows happened to his beloved. But then what's going through his mouth just 20 years later? Anjaza wa'da. Allah fulfilled his promise. Wa nasara abda. And he gives victory to his slave. Wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. And he destroyed the confederates alone. So subhanAllah, one of the lessons we learn is not just iqamatu dhikr, but Allah wants from us to remember these things. Why do we say these same things in 2024 when Islam is now established in the Jazeera? Why do we still say this? Allah says, وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ أَنْتُمْ قَلِيلٌ مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَتَخَطَّفَكُمُ النَّاسُ فَآوَاكُمْ وَأَيَّدَكُمْ بِنَصْرِهِ وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And remember a time, O companions, O Messenger of Allah, O believers, remember a time when you were small in number and oppressed in the land. You feared that people would abduct you. But Allah helped you, and He gave you His victory, and He provided from you provisions, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. There are many, many, many lessons we can take from the story of Hajar alayhi salam, and the story of Hajj, the journey of Hajj, the story of the Prophet's journey himself. But some of the things we learn is that iman must be rooted deep in the heart, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Even if the apparent in front of you is, there is no way logically I can explain that I'm going to survive. We know that if Allah promises, Allah's promise is true. And all we have to do is fast forward in the seerah of the Prophet to see that, as he makes this dhikr standing on the same place Hajar stood looking for help, alone, as a mother with an infant child. So we aren't deceived by the apparent. لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Allah commands us in the Quran, don't be deceived by those who move about on the land. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are just days. But their time will come. Most definitely their time will come. There is no doubt their time will come. And we learn that we have to establish the dhikr of Allah in our lives, which is the purpose of jamarat, the purpose of sa'i. You will not make more dhikr in your life perhaps than those 5 days in hajj. So we come back from hajj with that lesson. And we feel the pain of the hungry children. We feel the pain of children being bombed and families being bombed and fathers being separated and imprisoned and the like. We feel it. But it should not be a pain of paralysis, but rather a pain of action. Just like she was driven to action, we too should be driven to action. Allah says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. And whoever desires the hereafter, and he سَعَى لَهَا, same word as سَعِي, whoever puts forth that effort, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he's a believer, then indeed his effort, his سَعِي, will be appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to make us amongst them. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik 'ala Muhammadin wa 'ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim fil 'alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma fil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين واجمع كلمة المسلمين الحق يا رب العالمين. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمائه يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقيم الصلاة.